Gershon is Gayer, a person who converts to become Jewish, and he owned a cow. And the question arises as to whether he is obligated to separate the Zroya Lechayim Vekeva, the front leg, and the jaws and the stomach of the animal, which genuinely need to be separated from a domestic animal which is slaughtered, and they need to be given to a Kohen. The question is, does this person who is now Jewish, and he slaughters his animal, is he obligated to give the matonos, these gifts of the front leg, jaws, and stomach, to the Kohen? On the one hand, the animal grew whilst he was not obligated. On the other hand, right now, he is somebody who can be obligated in this mitzvah. So the Mishnah says, Nishchat Adjelein Isgayar. If the animal was slaughtered before he converted, whilst he was still a non-Jew, then Potter, he's exempt, even once he becomes Jewish, and he still has those gifts available. Whereas Mishnah Isgayar, if he slaughtered the animal only after he converted, Chayev, he is obligated to give those gifts to the Kohen. It is learnt from Psukim that the obligation of giving these gifts is dependent totally on the time of the slaughtering. Sofek, what happens if it is a doubt and we are unsure as to whether the slaughtering took place before or after he converted? Then Potter, he is exempt, Shehamitz Mechaveiro Olav Haraya, because one who wants to take money from somebody else can only do so if he can prove that he is entitled to that money. These gifts are essentially a monetary right which the Kohanim have. And therefore the regular monetary rule applies that if you want to take money from somebody else, one needs to prove that he's entitled to that money. And in a case of doubt, one is not obligated to give the money to the other person. Now the Perek ends off by defining what exactly is referred to by the Zroya, the front leg, which is one of the three parts of the body which need to be given to a Kohen. Now the front leg which we are talking about is specifically the right leg. The question is, how much of the right leg needs to be given to the Kohen? Ezu Azaraya, what is included in the term Zaraya, the front leg which needs to be given to a Kohen? Now, unlike a human leg, which is essentially made up of two parts, you've got the lower main bone and the knee, which connects the lower bone to the higher bone of the leg, the femur. When it comes to the leg of an animal, there are really three sections. There's the femur, the main bone at the top section of the leg, and there is a knee-like joint, and then the middle bone, the middle section of the leg, and then the main knee of the animal, followed by the lower bone, the lower section of the animal's leg. The question is, how much of this leg is included in the Zoraya? I mean, her perichular kuva, from the joint between the lower and middle bones of the leg. So this refers to the main knee of the animal. Ad kaf shel yod, until the shoulder blade, which is essentially the top of the leg. The entire upper section, upper bone of the leg of the animal, is not really part of the leg which we see outside of the animal. It's really inside the body of the animal, and stretches all the way to the shoulder blade of the animal. But that is all part of the Zoraya, the front right leg, which the Torah refers to and obligates one to give to a Kohen. And the Mishnah adds, V'hu shel Nozer, this is also the definition of the Zoraya, which the Torah refers to regarding a Nozer. A Nozer is somebody who accepts upon himself certain restrictions, like not drinking wine, growing his hair, and at the end of his period of being a Nozer, he's obligated to bring certain sacrifices, one of which is a Korban Shalomim, and one of the parts of the procedure bringing that Korban Shalomim is that the Kohen takes the Zoraya and waves it in the air. So this Mishnah is telling us that the Zoraya is the same definition over there as it is over here. Uchenegde Boregel, and corresponding to this, on the back leg of the animal, so from the knee of the back leg all the way until the top of the upper part of the leg, which obviously wouldn't be the shoulder blade, but it's the equivalent at the back of the body of the animal. That area is called the shoik, the thigh. That is one of the parts of the Korban Shalomim which must be given to a Kohen, the breast and the thigh. The thigh is that same definition. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, shoik, the thigh which needs to be given to a Kohen from a Korban Shalomim, min haperek shal arkuva. I agree that the lower limit of the Zoraya is from the knee, which connects the lower bone and the middle bone of the leg. However, the upper limit is not the equivalent of the shoulder blade right at the top of the top section of the leg, the top bone. Rather, at Tzorich Shel Regel, it's the joint which connects the higher bone to the middle bone. So essentially, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shoik refers to only the middle bone out of the three main bones of the leg, together with the joint at the top and bottom of this middle bone. Ends off the Mishnah, Ezeu Lechi, what is considered to be the jaw, which is another part of the gifts which needs to be given to a kohen when slaughtering a regular domestic animal. Minha Perek Shel Lechi, from the joints of the jaws, which is essentially the part which connects the upper part of the jaws and the lower parts, Ad Pikos Shel Gargeres, until the uppermost ring of the windpipe. So essentially, the mitzvah of giving the jaws refers to the lower jaw all the way until the top part of the windpipe. Perigadanaf Mishnah Aleph. Rishis Hagaze is an additional gift which needs to be given to the Koyanim, and this refers to the first part of one's shearing. Whenever one shears his animals, he needs to give a portion of those wool shearings to a kohen, and the perek introduces Rish Sagez Noig Ba'aretz V'chutz La'aretz. It's this mitzvah of giving the first part of the wool shearings applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, just like any mitzvah which is not dependent upon that which grows in the ground. Bifnei Abayis, which Bifnei Abayis, it applies both when the Beis Hamikdash stands and when it doesn't. Bachulin, it applies to animals which are not holy, Avalei Hamikdashin, but not to animals which have been designated to the Beis Hamikdash. Now, it's quite obvious that if somebody designated an animal to the Beis Hamikdash, he obviously can't then go and cut off the shearings of that animal and give it to a kohen. The animal and all of its shearings are in the possession of the Beis Hamikdash. And so the Gemara explains that we're talking about a case where somebody designated his sheep to the Beis Hamikdash, not to be bought as a korban, but rather that its value be holy, and then somebody would redeem it, and they would use that money to buy things which are needed for the Beis Hamikdash. And he stipulated in his designation that he does not want to designate the shearings which will come from the animal to the Beis Hamikdash. He wants any shearings which will come for him to be able to cut off, and that will remain in his ownership. He is able to do such a thing, and it is this case which the Mishnah is coming to exclude from the obligation of Reish Sagez. Even though you are the owner of the wool shearings, since you are not the owner of the sheep, it is learned from Pesukim that you would not be obligated in the mitzvah of Reish Sagez. You're obligated to give the first part of the shearings of Tzoncha, of your sheep, but not of a sheep which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah continues now to compare the subject of the previous perek, which was the gift of the Zrei Lachayim Bekeva, the front leg, the front right leg, and the jaws, and the stomach. The Mishnah says, Chomer b'Zrei Lachayim Bekeva, there is a stringency which exists regarding those three gifts which need to be given to a kohen, which is more stringent, Mereish Sagez, than the mitzvah of giving the first part of one's shearings to a kohen. Because the front leg and the jaws and the stomach which need to be given to a kohen, noyagim bat bokor vatzoin, that applies both to cattle, like cows and oxen, as well as smaller flock, sheep and goats. The obligation applies to any domestic animal to give those parts to a kohen, bam rube bam wat. And it applies whether there are multiple animals, or even just one animal. Even if one slaughters just one animal, he's obligated to take those parts of the animal and give it to a kohen. However, Reish Sagez, the requirement to give the first of one's shearings to a kohen, eni nergel abarachelois, only applies to sheep. And as well as that, eni nergel abarube, and it only applies to somebody who has multiple sheep. But if one only has one sheep which he is shearing, or perhaps even more than one, as we're going to see in the coming Mishnah, then the entire mitzvah would not apply. Mishnah Beis, v'chamahu merube, what is considered to be multiple animals? What is the minimum number of animals for the mitzvah of Reish Sagez to apply? Bishamai say, Shtei Recheilois, there needs to be at least two sheep which she is sharing. Shanaima, as the pasuk says, Yichaya ish eglas bokor shtei tzoin. A man will keep alive a calf and two sheep. The point is, we see that the pasuk refers to two sheep by the term tzoin. And since that is the word used when talking about reishis hageiz, we learn from there that the obligation applies to any time there is a number of animals, any time there's more than a single animal that is already included in the term tzoin. However, Reisil and Reisil say chomesh, the minimum number of sheep which need to be sheared in order for the obligation to apply, is 5. Shenema, as the pasuk says, chomesh tzoin asuyos, 5 sheep which are made, literally. But Beis Hillel have a slightly different interpretation of the pasuk, that the word asuyos is coming to say that it is these 5 sheep which make somebody obligated in a mitzvah. These 5 sheep do something, they affect an obligation upon the owner of those 5 sheep, and that is the source for Beis Hillel to understand that one has to have at least 5 sheep in order to be obligated in the mitzvah of Reish Tageiz. Now this mitzvah is to separate the first portion, meaning a part of the shearings, and give it to a kohen. Now it follows that if somebody is shearing a sheep which has barely any wool, it's hard to view a part of that wool as being a portion of the greater part of the wool. That's only the case if you have a significant amount of wool and you separate a part of that wool. So the question is, how much wool needs to have grown on each of these sheep for the obligation to apply? And we're assuming, like the opinion of Beis Hillel, that there needs to be at least 5 sheep. Rabbeinu Ben Hakina Omer, Rabbeinu Ben Hakina says, Chomesh Rechelos, these 5 sheep must have Gozezos Mone Mone Opras. It needs to be that one shares wool from there, which is worth a mone and a half for each of those animals. The wool of each animal which is shared needs to be worth at least a mone and a half. And only then, Cheres Reish Sageiz, would it be obligated in the mitzvah of Reish Sageiz, because only then is it considered to be a significant amount that you can call it a real shearing of a sheep. However, the Chomer and the Chachom say, Chomesh Rechelos, these 5 sheep need to only go to this Kol Shehein if they have a shearing of any amount. At the end of the day, you shear the animal, so the obligation applies. Now, the Gemara explains that even according to the Chachom, there is a minimum amount, and that is 12 sela worth of wool for each animal. So altogether that would be 60 sela worth of wool. However, since compared to Rabbi Dosben Harkinas' amount, that is barely anything, that's why the Mishnah words it as if that any amount is enough. Now the amount which one separates from the wool is supposed to be a 60th, at least. So according to the Chachomim, the minimum amount of wool which there needs to be is 60 sela worth of wool, such that you would separate 1 sela of the wool and give it to a kohen. The Mishnah's question now, how much wool does one give to a kohen? The Mishnah is not asking the question which I just asked, what percentage of the wool does one need to give to a kohen? One is supposed to give a 60th. The question is, if somebody wants to give, let's say he has a lot of wool, his sheep grew a lot of wool and he is shearing a lot of wool, and he wants to give it out to different kohanim, what is the minimum amount that he has to give to each kohen? Mishkal chomesh selah b'Yehuda, it has to be wool which weighs 5 sela in Yehuda, shein esher selah b'Galil, which is equivalent to weighing 10 sela in the Galil. And it has to weigh this amount melubon v'loy tzoi, once it has already been bleached and not when it's still dirty. That doesn't mean that you yourself are obligated to bleach it, but you have to give him enough that once it has been bleached, it will weigh that amount. And that is enough, k'dilas is menu begad koton, in order to be able to make a small garment from that amount of wool. Now, how do we know at all that I need to make sure to give an amount to each kohen which is useful for him? Maybe I can just give each kohen a tiny amount, as long as altogether I'm giving the requisite amount of reish sageiz. Mishnah explains, Shneimar, as the pasuk says, titen loy. You need to give it to him, shehe begedei matana. It has to be something which is considered to be a gift, which is able to use and in itself is enough to be useful to make a small garment. Continues the Mishnah, loy hispeg lidna loyad shetzvoy. If he didn't manage to give it to him until he dyed the wool, if the owner of the sheep and the wool dyed it, once the wool has been dyed, it is viewed upon as being a different item. Is considered to be a very significant change, which gives it the status of a new item. It is not looked upon as being the same shearing which came off of the sheep, and as such, Potter, he will be exempt from giving this to a kohen. It's certainly forbidden to do this, but once he has done it, the kohen no longer has any claim on that dyed wool. Libanoi velo tzva'ai, if he only bleached the wool, but he didn't dye it, that is not considered to be a significant enough change for it to be considered a different item. And as such, chayev, he is still obligated to give that wool to a kohen. Halukeach geiz tzoynishol nochri, if somebody buys the wool sharings of a non-Jew's sheep, even if he buys it from him before the wool has been sheared off the animal, since he isn't the owner of the animal, potem reish sageiz, he is exempt from giving part of the wool to a kohen. In the same way as we learned earlier on, that if somebody designated the animal to Hekdesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, and he is the owner of the shearings, he is also exempt since he is not the owner of the animal itself. Halukeach geiz tzunishol chaveira. What happens if somebody buys the wool shearings from his friend who is also a Jew? So until he bought this, the original owner was the one who was obligated, or who would be obligated upon shearing the animal, to give reish sageiz. The question is, upon whom does the obligation now rest? If the one who sold him the wool shearings retained part of the wool shearings for himself as well, then the seller is the one who is obligated, because we assume that that part of the shearings he did not sell on to the other person. The reishis hageiz is found in the wool which he retained for himself, as opposed to the wool which he gave over to the other person. But loishier, if he didn't retain any amount of the shearings for himself, halukeach chayev, the buyer is obligated. Now, based on what we just saw, it's a bit difficult to understand this, because the owner of the shearings is not the owner of the animal. So really, strictly speaking, he should not be obligated to give reish sageiz, in the same way as if a non-Jew owns the animal and you own the shearings. The reason why you are exempt is because you do not own the animal. And therefore the Gemara explains that the reason why he's obligated is only because there is a general understanding that two Jews are not going to do a transaction which will uproot and get rid of the mitzvah, and as a result of that, it is understood that he is not selling him the part of the shearings which need to be given to a kohen. He's retaining that for himself. Just he's going to give over all of the shearings to the Jew who is buying it in order for him to pass on the reish sageiz to the kohen. But the buyer is really just acting as a messenger of the seller to give that part of the reish sageiz to the kohen. But strictly speaking, if they would explicitly state that he is selling him all of the shearings, then he would indeed be exempt from giving it to a kohen. Holo shnei minim, if somebody had two different types of sheep, shechufais, he had dark sheep, olvonais, and he had lighter white sheep, and mochalai shechufais, he sold his dark sheep to somebody else, avalai olvonais, but not his white sheep. Or Zacharim, he sold his male sheep over to somebody else, of a lone keves, but not his female sheep. Zenosin atzmoy, this person, the seller, needs to give reish sageiz himself from those sheep which he retained for himself. And the buyer needs to give reish sageiz from those sheep which he bought by himself. That's how we're going to interpret the Mishnah, according to the simple understanding that since he sold the entire sheep, he didn't retain anything for himself, and therefore the person who bought it is the full owner of all of the animal, and that is why he is obligated in reish sageiz from those animals which he bought. And there's no longer any assumption that the seller retained part of it for himself in order for him to give it to the kohen, etc. Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. The subject of this perek is the mitzvah of shiluach haken, to send away the mother bird. The Torah prohibits one from taking a mother bird away from its young whilst it is sitting in its nest. And on the other hand, there is a mitzvah to send away the mother bird, and only once it flies away to take the eggs which she has laid. And we'll see later on in this perek the relation between that prohibition and the mitzvah. But first, the Mishnah introduces shiluach haken, the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird from the nest. Noig ba'aretz v'chutz ha'aretz applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, just like any mitzvah which is not dependent upon that which grows in the ground, b'fnei ha'bayis v'shalei b'fnei ha'bayis, both whilst the Beis HaMikdosh is standing and when it is not. B'chulin, it applies to animals which are not holy, avalei ha'mikdoshin, but not to an animal which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdosh. The Mishnah now compares this mitzvah to a mitzvah which was discussed about earlier on in the Masechta, and that is kisui hadam, covering the blood of an animal which one slaughters. Chomer b'kisui hadam, there's a stringency regarding the mitzvah of covering the blood of an animal which was slaughtered, mishluach haken, in comparison to the mitzvah of Shluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird, Shekisui Adam Noig B'Chayo V'Oif. Because the mitzvah of covering the blood after the animal is slaughtered applies both to a wild animal and to a bird. It only does not apply to a regular domestic animal. As well as that, B'Mezumon, U'V'Sheinu Mezumon, it applies both to an animal which is considered to be prepared and readily available, as well as to an animal which one happens to meet on his way, so to speak, by chance. V'shiloach haken, whereas the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird from the nest, eini noig ela b'oif, it only applies to a bird, obviously, v'eini noig ela b'sheinu mezumon, and it also only applies to an animal which isn't considered to be prepared and already set aside. The Torah says ki kore kan sipur l'fanecho, if a bird's nest happens to meet you on your way in front of you, it cannot be something which is, so to speak, prepared beforehand. Eizu shenem zumon, what comes under the category of something which is not prepared? Kagona vozim v'san golim, for example, geese or chicken, shekinenu b'parides, which set up nests outside in the field. They're really supposed to be in more enclosed areas, so once they have gone out, it's much harder to catch them, and so they're not considered to be prepared or readily available. Oh, in kinenu b'bayis, however, if they set up nests inside the house or inside a more enclosed area, v'chein yoneh hardesiyos, and the same applies to Herodian doves, which generally are kept inside the house, or again in a very enclosed area next to the house. These are considered to be easily caught and therefore prepared and readily available, and as such, potter mishaluach, they would be exempt from the mitzvah of sending away the mother before taking her young.